So we're in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7 in the NIV, verses, I think I said 1 through 13. The Bible says, "The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean." Now, this doesn't mean they didn't use soap. This means they didn't wash their hands a certain way with a three-handled cup that was supposed to make their hands clean ceremonial. This has to do with ceremonial cleansing. Verse 3, "The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles." Verse 5, "So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, 'Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?' He replied," this is Jesus talking, "'Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men.' And he said to them, 'You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is korban, that is, a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that.'" This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. So my mother's first Mother's Day was May 13th, 1973. So I researched that day and I found something interesting. So President Nixon had put a proclamation out, Proclamation 4217, Mother's Day, 1973, by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation for nearly 60 years, this nation has set aside one day each year to recognize the enormous responsibility a mother bears for the development of her children and our future citizens. Mother's Day also provides a special opportunity for a grateful nation to pay tribute to other contributions that the mothers of America are making to our national life. Today we are in the midst of a national movement to ensure equal rights for women. This movement has helped bring millions of additional women into the workforce, performing highly skilled and challenging jobs, many of them previously filled by men. Great numbers of these women are mothers who are pursuing careers even while they continue to carry out major family responsibilities. Women have made wide-ranging contributions to our country throughout its history. Pioneer women helped push westward the American frontier. Women have filled countless industrial positions in wartime when men have entered the armed forces. In medicine, science, law, education, and every other profession, women have helped this country achieve unparalleled successes. It is appropriate on this Mother's Day that we honor mothers of every generation, older mothers, many of whom are widowed and living alone. Mothers in their middle years who began careers after their children were grown. Younger mothers who devote full time to their family responsibilities. Mothers who, in addition to their vital role at home, are engaged in volunteer service or employment that is of inestimable value to our economy and the quality of American life. And particularly this year, we honor the mothers and wives of those who served in the Vietnam War, especially those who lost loved ones, lost their lives, or were held prisoners of war. It says 1209, May 11, 1973, Proclamation 4218, and it goes on. Designated the second Sunday of May each year as a day on which to honor all mothers for their countless contributions to their families, their communities, and the nation. Now, therefore, I, Richard Nixon, President of the United States, do hereby request that Sunday, May 13, 1973, be observed as Mother's Day. I urge government officials and all citizens to mark that day by displaying the flag of the United States and by participating in appropriate observances. So we're here to appropriately observe the honor that's due to our mothers today, okay? All right. So honor to whom honor is due. Jesus said in Mark's Gospel, again, chapter 12, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this." Children learn to honor God and their fellow man by first honoring their mothers. As Tim Keller, the pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in Manhattan, says, "It's respect for mothers that is the basis of every other kind of respect and every other kind of authority." A lot of our problems in this country can be traced right to the home with lack of respect for one's mother. Therefore, my sermon today is all about honoring one's mother according to the Scriptures. If you believe the Bible to be inerrant, completely inerrant, and that is it is handed down from God, then that is a clear expectation for all of us to honor our mothers, no matter what. And that's hard for some of us. There is no statute of limitations on honoring your mother. We do not honor our mothers if we live under their roof. We honor them throughout our days. We do not honor them if they are good moms or bad moms. Scripture does not give a pass on honoring our mothers if we've been hurt by them. Respect and honor for our mothers and our fathers too is the first step in a healthy relationship with them. So this morning we're going to look at six ways we honor our mothers. In each of these six methods of honoring our mothers, you're going to probably ask yourself, and you may even ask me, or tell me, "You don't know my mother." That's true. That's true. I do not. What I do know is that if you will commit yourself to putting these things into practice, you will find yourselves set free from roots of bitterness. A root of bitterness will rob you of peace. It will rob you of joy. It will rob you of the blessings that God has prepared for you. Do you believe that this morning? Okay. So remember, your mothers are the first place you learn how to respect God, respect one another, and respect for yourselves. Okay, so the first thing we do to honor our mothers is forgive them. While it is true that there are no perfect moms out there, the sad reality is that some of us have been deeply hurt by our mothers. How does one honor a mother who has hurt their child? By forgiving them. People often consider forgiving but don't because they don't feel like it. There is not a requirement for you and I to forgive somebody because we feel like it. If somebody told you that growing up, then you were misled. Forgiving people, particularly a parent, is the only way to let go of crippling roots of bitterness. Unforgiving people suffer more from their own pain than that which was inflicted on them by someone else. You understand that? Whatever hurt, whatever bitterness you hold on to is more damaging to you than that which was done to you. When a person chooses unforgiveness, they soon find themselves entering adulthood controlled by anger and bitterness. So it's a cycle. It's a self-serving cycle. In forgiving, we find ourselves more conformed to the image of Christ. In the very moment the nails were being driven into his wrists and ankles, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke 23:34. So who are you and I to hold on to unforgiveness? Therefore, we honor our mothers by forgiving them. The second way we honor them is by speaking well of them. Speaking well of our mothers. For those of you with moms and are struggling in some area, then keep that out of the public eye. I'm not talking about obvious abuse. If you just do not like a situation with your mother, it's between the two of you. Keep it there. In public, we should speak well of our mothers. When we badmouth our mothers, bosses, pastors, etc., we're not showing them respect and we're not honoring them. Even though society today tells you it's okay to air your dirty laundry, church, it's not. Particularly with regard to your mothers. When we badmouth our mothers, we're cursing them. I've seen children so hateful to their mothers that they actually struck them. I was born in the South, raised in the South. That didn't really happen very much, at least back in the 70s. The Bible warns us that we owe honor and respect all the authorities that God has placed over us. That's in Romans chapter 13, verse 7. We cannot miss that in the Old Testament, the penalty for cursing mothers is the same penalty as assaulting them. That's Exodus 21, Leviticus 20. That's stoning. For the root sin is the same. To hate our mothers, to curse them, to strike at them is to violate the fifth and sixth commandment. This has to do with honoring your father and mother and killing. Jesus, what did he say about killing? You've heard them say in old times, do not kill. But I tell you that anybody who hates somebody from their heart has already killed them. Do you believe that? Do you believe that's what Jesus said? Do you believe that his word is inerrant? Do you believe that his word has authority? Do you believe that his word is authority?
Yes.
Yes. So then we must obey it. Therefore, beloved, speak well of your mother and refuse to speak evil of her. We need to speak well of our mothers. We need to speak well of them while they are alive and speak well of them after they have died, to speak well of them to our siblings, to our spouses, and our children. We need to speak well of them to our churches and communities, modeling a countercultural kind of honor and respect that has long since gone missing. It's countercultural nowadays to speak well of your parents, to speak well of your mothers. It's countercultural. This country is destroying itself for lack of just basic common courtesy to people, which we learn first in our kitchens, in our bedrooms while we pray at night, in our living rooms. That's where we learn it. And that's where we're not learning it. And what happens as a result of it is that it just churns that lack of respect for one another, particularly our mothers, until it finally boils out into society. The third way we honor them is by esteeming them publicly and privately. My mother prayed over me, loved me, cried with me when I was hurt, and loved me through all my bad decisions growing up. She taught me how to love the Lord and serve the Lord. She taught me how to respect people older than I, actually all people. She taught me to respect everybody. How can you esteem your mother publicly and privately, even if you do not agree with them? I honestly hope I'm stomping on some toes. It's a conscious decision to esteem them publicly and privately, like forgiving and speaking well of them. You don't have to feel like doing it. You just have to do it. Publicly and privately. We honor our mothers by esteeming them. Fourth, we honor our mothers when we seek their wisdom through life's twists and turns. The Bible constantly associates youth with folly and age and wisdom, Proverbs 20:29, Job 12:12, and tells us that those who have lived longer lives have generally accumulated greater wisdom, okay? Your parents have lived longer than you and I, and therefore are wiser, okay? And yes, they've made mistakes. So have you. So have I. We all make them. If you hadn't heard, there is no manual for parenting. When Kenny and I, when Levi was brought into the world, they tested him in his car seat, and that was it. We took him home. They didn't give us a book or anything. We were so excited when he made it past that first day, weren't we? We literally thought we had achieved something when we made it past that first night. When he was alive the next day, we knew that things were going to be okay. I'm serious. We honor our mothers. Actually, what was I going to say? So we do well to lean on them for understanding, to seek their input when we face major decisions. Okay? Even if your parents didn't make the best of decisions, you're talking to them about your decisions. If anything, you're showing them respect. And you're letting go of pain. You're letting go of bitterness. You're letting go of something that's holding you back from blessings from the Lord. Make no mistake about it. In the first half of the Decalogue, right, you got two plates. That was the Ten Commandments that God Himself, with His own finger, wrote. On the first, you had the four, which is honoring God, right? And then the first one that we honor each other, right? You have four that we honor God, four commandments for honoring God, six commandments for honoring each other. So that right there tells you how God feels about our dealings with each other. And the fifth one, which is honoring your father and mother, is actually on the first half. That was the first thing on God's mind for us dealing with each other, respecting each other, was our parents. In some cultures, this is just expected. Kenny and I lived in Japan for 6 years, and it didn't matter what kind of mother you had, you showed them respect. That was just how it was. You didn't choose. It wasn't like America. But either way, we honor our mothers when we seek their help, even if in the end we cannot or must not heed it. So the fifth way we honor our mothers is by supporting them. I'm not speaking of financial support yet, that's coming, but other forms of love and care. I think of David at a particularly low point in his life, weighed down by cares and attacked by enemies. In this context, he cried out to God and said, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent." That's Psalm 71. David feared the combination of age and isolation, of being old and alone, and so too are dear elderly mothers that are in assisted living. And my heart goes out for them every day, praying for them. It's tough. David, so we honor our mothers by giving them the assurance that we will not forsake them in their old age. When we are young, we gain strength and long for independence. Our mothers raise us to be strong and free. But there's a trade-off, a passing of the baton. For as our mothers age, they become feeble and they lose their independence. Ecclesiastes 12, 1-8. We honor our mothers by giving them the assurance that we will not forsake them in their old age. Just as they care for us, we will care for them. This is our responsibility. And church, it ought to be a joy. It ought to be a joy to take care of your parents, your moms, in their assisted living. Make that a priority for yourself, not an obligation. It's not something that's an inconvenience for you. It's a joy. It's a joy for you. It's a joy for them. And it's something that God blesses. Conversely, it's something that He will deal with you firmly about if you neglect it. At a time when millions of elderly adults are living alone, consigned to nursing homes and hospitals, cared for by professionals other than family members, Christians can display special honor. Kent Hughes says that even if mothers have no financial needs, there's still a Christian obligation for hands-on loving care. Nurses may be employed and should be, but there must be more. Care cannot be done by proxy. Emotional neglect and abandonment is not an option, for such conduct is worse for an unbeliever. Don't neglect your family, for if you do, that's worse than being an infidel, that the scripture says. Okay? I wish these were my words. I did a research on this thing this week, and this sermon is largely borrowed, but it just really hit me. Finally, we can honor our mothers by providing for them financially. 1 Timothy 5 talks about this. We find Paul telling Timothy how to honor widows within the church. It was widows that were in Jerusalem that Paul, if you read Paul's epistles, he's always talking about a collection for the saints. You know what I'm talking about? You go through his epistles, and he's always talking about a collection for the saints. The saints were in Jerusalem. You remember the story where they had to make deacons because the apostles were getting tired of feeding tables? It was because there was a food insecurity in Jerusalem amongst the Hebrew and Hellenistic believers. So that didn't go away. So Paul was constantly bringing he was getting collections from these churches and bringing them back to Jerusalem to help those people. So as he provides instructions, he gives two important principles. Children are to make some return to their mothers. And Christians who will not provide for family members are behaving worse than unbelievers. What is it then about an unbeliever? They're blind. They're living in darkness. They don't know their right hand from their left. They don't know any better. So therefore, a Christian should know better. Commentators are nearly unanimous in extending these principles to children and their elderly mothers. What's unremarkable in some cultures is controversial in others, including my own. Stopp points out that African and Asian cultures, which have developed the extended in place of the nuclear family, are a standing rebuke to the West in this matter. What that means is in Asian cultures and African cultures, the families are much bigger, and it's a priority that amongst the children to take care of their mothers and fathers physically, financially. When children are young, God expects mothers to provide for them. That's 2 Corinthians 12:14. But according to this fellow Stott, when mothers grow old and feeble, it is then that roles and responsibilities are reversed. Are you following me? I don't know if I'm going too fast. Sometimes I get excited. Christian sons and daughters are responsible for the financial care of widows, as the text expands, of their helpless mothers and grandmothers. So back in the Old Testament, you know, when it talked about the double blessing for the firstborn, right? So Jacob took the firstborn blessing from Esau. God said, "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." That was talking about the double blessing. The purpose of the double blessing was to take care of the family, to keep the family going, to take care of the parents as well as their own family. That was the purpose for all of that financial blessing. You with me? So there's a clear expectation, even before the Ten Commandments, going all the way back to the beginning of time, that children were supposed to take care of their parents. Really, it's only different here in America. Everywhere I've ever been, there's been more of a regard for one's parents and one's mothers. The raising of children requires tremendous sacrifice, and it is only right that children make sacrifices for their mothers in return. We might also consider Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, talking about Jesus rebuking the Pharisees. What I was telling you earlier was that there's these cups and they have three handles, and you go up to I've been to Jerusalem, and when you go to the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, or it's called the Kotel, there's a place where you can wash, and they have these cups and they have three handles. So you grab the handle with your cup, dip it in the water, and you wash one hand. Then you grab the other handle. You wash your other hand, and then you grab the third hand when you put it back. That's how they do it. But it's ceremonial. There's no soap dispenser. It's not like a sink in the bathroom where you're literally washing your hands with soap and water like, you know, your hygienist tells you to. This is all ceremonial. And so the disciples were telling Jesus, how come your followers don't do what the traditional, what the elders say to do? Which is kind of weird when you're trying to tell Jesus, how come your guys aren't following this person's rule instead of your rule? But it's the idea there is that they were, what was worse than that was their this Corban thing. So many of the, probably should have explained this early on, but many in that, what he was talking about, Corban, that gift for the temple, many of the religious leaders were priests, right? The people that Jesus was talking to, the bad guys, many of them were priests, and they lived off the temple. They lived off of the proceeds that went into the offering for the temple. So it was in their best interest that people give more money to the temple. So they had this teaching going on where instead of giving to your parents, you give this Corban money to the temple. Of course, they made money off of that. And so that was why that tradition was so strong. And so Jesus was telling them, you're taking from your parents to do this. And the parents are the fifth commandment. You guys have your priorities all out of whack. So as we conclude, or begin to conclude, the final point I want to make is that God calls every child of every age to show honor to our mothers. To refuse to dishonor our mothers is wrong. He calls to honor them as the outflow of honoring Him. We honor our parents because we're honoring Him. And maybe that's what some of you need. You know, if you're struggling with forgiving your mother, if you're struggling with honoring your mother, then it may help to say, well, I'm going to honor God. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like fixing this relationship. But God says to do it, and I'm going to obey God. He calls us to be people who respect His sovereignty by respecting the mothers He saw fit to give us. He gave you your mother. Just like He gave you to your mother, He gave your mother to you. So in what ways is God calling you to show honor to your mothers today? Are you holding on to bitterness about your mother? If so, you're not honoring them. Holding on to roots of bitterness is wrong, as I said before. It's also wrong to enable this behavior in young people. Okay? If you're enabling that behavior in young people, just because it's society today, that's what we do, then stop. Give that to God. Christians, regardless of their age, should honor their mothers and must honor their mothers. This is the first step in healing of a person that's hurt, and it's the first step of reconciliation, and it's the first step in breaking cycles. You hear psychologists talk about it all the time. You hear counselors talk about it all the time, these cycles of abuse, right? The cycles of disrespect. But you don't fix it by talking about it and taking no action on it. It doesn't get fixed when we blame our mothers for our problem, and then we just go on through those problems, and then they happen over and over from the generation, every generation after that. And then each one of those successive generations blames the previous one for their problems. Fix it. Give it to God. Even if you don't feel like it, give it to God. Say, God, I don't know how to do this. I don't have the strength to forgive, but Your word says to do it. And I make a commitment to do that. What God will begin to do, He'll honor that. The Bible said, Jesus said, you know, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be lifted up and cast into the sea, and it will obey you. For some of you, dealing with your parents is a mountain. You've had struggles with your parents, you've had struggles with your mother for years, and it's a big mountain. That little bit of faith that you have, that little, and it only takes is a little bit, that little bit of faith to obey the Lord, to obey His command, will move that mountain for you. And you'll see a miracle in your life. You'll see a miracle in your family. You'll see a miracle in your home. You'll see a miracle amongst your children. You'll see that change happen. And you'll rejoice, and God will give you more faith. And you'll break that cycle. Do you believe what I'm saying? Don't live in shame. You're children of God. You are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. You are seated in heavenly realms right now with Him. Act like it. Be proud of what you have in Jesus. And forgive. Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, honor, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen.